Welcome back, Survivor fans, to week 5 of season 23 of Survivor. This is the Tribal Council podcast. I am your new permanent host, Ralph.
And I'm Chris, and I didn't do any tongue twisters to warm up my mouth, but Ralph did, and somehow he's the one who trips on the words.
Thanks for that. We have a lot to talk about. This is an eventful week 5. And let's cut right to it. We arrive at Redemption Island, where we see the reunion of Christine and Stacy, and they really genuinely missed each other.
Yeah, they did seem. They were each other's own only, you know, real friends. It seemed like and allies, even though they didn't even coordinate who they were voting for. The one vote they went to together, but. Yeah, they seem to bond over disdain for Benjamin Wade.
So yeah, they bring the disdain with them to the arena, and they spill all the beans in front of both tribes, and Albert can do nothing but wince while she gives it all away.
Yeah, and what I thought was interesting is Dawn is shocked that Stacy is the one that got voted out. And Whitney, like, not only is Whitney not shocked, she's not shocked to the point where she immediately responds, "I'm not shocked." Like, she didn't even have to think about it. She's like, "Not shocked, no."
Again, it's a little bit of, you know, the older woman denial, you know. I guess Dawn was shocked just because Stacy had been the one who put up such a good fight in the previous challenge.
That's true. I guess that's the one thing is, yeah. I wonder if it's a little bit of, like, projection almost, you know, like, man, if I lost, does that mean I was going home next, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
What do you think of the challenge this week? We had an endurance concentration challenge where they were tasked with keeping track of balls and handling balls and managing balls.
Yeah. I don't think it's remotely as loaded with innuendo as you make it sound to be, but I like it. I mean, I like the challenge because it's mental and it's probably the best blend of mental and physical that you can get, I think, because it requires the concentration and the visual acuity, I guess, maybe, I don't know. But at the same time, also a degree of dexterity and control and hand-eye coordination, etc. And most challenges that attempt to make for a good blend are usually done so via, you know, segments of a challenge where there's one decidedly physical aspect and then one decidedly mental aspect.
Yeah, you're completely right, and I think it's rare that you find the challenge that has no bias, but this certainly should count for one of those.
Yeah, and I also thought it was interesting the juxtaposition of strategies, you know, in terms of, you know...
I don't think Stacy had one.
I agree.
I mean, you're giving Stacy too much credit.
I agree, but to be honest, I actually think her strategy, or lack thereof, actually was a good strategy. I just don't think she executed it as well as Christy did. Christine, I always screw up her name.
Yeah, Christine.
Christine. In terms of the ball drop in the 10-second window, so just grab the ball and drop it in, I think that's actually smarter, because I think any time spent trying to concern yourself with, you know, spreading them apart nicely is time spent not watching the ball that's coming down the chute and is just begging to end up with a ball on the ground. And while obviously she ends up losing, I do think that's wiser than sitting there holding the ball, like, sort of you know, testing the water, okay, now I drop it, you know.
Yeah, I think there's not enough time for you to try to establish any kind of rhythm,
right,
for, like, evenly spacing them out. That would be,
yeah,
ideal, obviously, to have a rhythm, but
right,
you're not going to get that. So I think, you know, you have some familiarity with the Real World Road Rules Challenge, right?
I do.
So there's, like, you know, I haven't watched it religiously, but there's a format where, like, know, they would have two people, you know, have a contest at the end to eliminate one, and there was like a wheel, and they would like spin it, and then that would determine like what the challenge was, right?
Right. The duel, the gauntlet, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think there's something to that. I think it would be nice if like they took six of their best challenges. I would put this one on the wheel, and you know, make them spin the wheel just so that like. You know, lame challenges like the bag tossing one from last time don't come up, and you just have six really great duels that you can draw on and be able to run at any given moment.
I would agree with that. I think I like that approach. It's, I mean, the problem is, you know, this one's a decent one, but some of the others might require a little more prep in terms of, you know, like if I'm spinning the wheel. You know, or do they spin the wheel that night, you know, the night before or something, that way they can...
Let me throw some at you. Let me just throw some at you. Like, you know, you have the ball and the coordination one, right?
Yeah.
I thought the first one they did last year where they had to build the stick and grab the keys and then, like, unlock the locks.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was decent.
I think that one should be on there. Again, I don't think it discriminates young and old, strong and weak, smart or dumb. It's, you know, it's just... You know, can you, you know, hold yourself together and be coordinated enough to, like,
yeah,
you know, put it
yeah,
together?
Yeah, actually, and Stacy actually pointed that out to me this week. She pointed out that, for the most part, Redemption Island challenges have not been terribly physical over the last season and a half.
No.
And so, you know, that's something to consider. But, yeah, I mean, you could certainly wheel out the door and the stick building challenge from last time pretty easily. Mm-hmm. You could wheel this out on carts pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others out there that you could also do, you know, the Captain Morgan pose one you could actually probably wheel out fairly easily. And
yeah.
you could get sponsorship for it.
Yeah. And you just have this bigger arena with all of the challenges laid out and they, you know, go to the a proper area and hold their duel there, and that's it. You know,
well, that's true. You could have like a three ring circus. Like, just have them all set up out there. Like, okay, we're going to ring one.
They've already announced this year that they're not going to do any four way duels, so you
that's
don't
true.
Need the whole arena. You
yeah.
know, so that's good.
That's true. That's true.
I'm glad you're on board with this idea. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
that.
You know what? You know what else I liked from this segment of the show. You know, the whole thing about Benjamin calling him Benjamin and stuff. you know, it's this silly indignance that the two of them have that really, again, as I've said before, is the we're up here, you're down there.
Yeah,
syndrome.
I definitely got that vibe.
But there is an element of truth to it in that by having... I mean, I don't think he set this up. I think this is just his own neuroses that makes him want people to call him coach. But in having everybody call you coach, there's especially in a situation like this where you are the only returner, you create an underlying mentality of
superiority,
of he is our leader, he's our go-to person, etc. Like, and thus put yourself in a position to be less likely to be eliminated. It's, I mean, you know, on the other hand, I guess the counterexample to my theory here is Papa Bear, who asked to be called Papa Bear and it didn't get him anywhere, and that certainly is maybe not the same as coach, but it's in a similar
well,
realm. I mean, if you were calling him Dad, it would probably be a little more
but
significant.
But it was more of like I'm a big gay hairy dude, and, you know, that I want to be called a Papa Bear. So that's a different
sure.
thing.
But
I
mean,
would not lump those
together. I do think there's a degree of psychology behind what Stacy gets at that's not completely dismissible.
I just like how Albert goes, you know, all coming to America when he retells the story. He's like, his mama named him Benjamin, I'ma call him Benjamin. Recalling the famous, you know, barbershop scene in Coming to America.
Indeed. That's got to be one of the first scenes in movies where someone's playing like that many characters. I mean, I'm sure it's been done plenty of times where somebody plays two characters, but to be playing like six characters in the same scene, which by the unlocked Eddie Murphy's movie career in general.
Right. I hope Tyler Perry is giving a cut to Eddie Murphy every time he plays like every person in a scene, you know?
Does he do that too?
I'm not a big fan of the Tyler Perry movies, but you know, ditto. I think there's a degree to which he's doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
and then of course Tracy, the fictional Tracy Jordan on 30 Rock, same thing.
Well, but does he play? He doesn't play multiple characters.
No,
he?
But his actor does movies where he plays all the characters. Just
oh,
like
oh, oh! Yeah. I see what you're saying. Gotcha. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
All right, back to camp. We see Elise and Oz cuddling, and she, you know, like her monologue or her confessional, like every sign pointed to, oh, you're going home this week. Like it was so completely obvious that she kept talking about how confident yeah. she was, how everything was going great. It's like she could not have worn a bigger sign that says, right. I'm going home.
Well, and she's just oblivious. She's oblivious to the things that she's doing that are going to make her a target. You know, oh, yeah, we're really tight, and he's just a good guy, and all that. By the way, I loved Cochran's response to the question, how do you spell your name?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
fantastic.
It was absolutely a highlight.
Cut right through it and just, no, you don't need to know how to spell my name. There's absolutely no need for you to know how to spell my name.
Jim, you know, overhears Ozzy talking about, you know, getting Albert off, you mm-hmm. know, if he was coach, and he absolutely seizes this is the power play of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
He decides, I'm going to take this to Keith, and this is going to be my fear, you know, my moment of fear that I can use to swing Keith to his side.
Well, and he's spot on. I mean,
yep.
It's not just a device. It's also him playing a good game. I mean, Ozzy let his guard down there big
yep.
time.
Yeah.
And this
no,
has always
he's
been
playing with his
weakness.
Guard down. He's playing with his guard down.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything guard up about it.
Yeah, this has always been a weakness for him. And I immediately, the second Ozzy said that, I immediately turned to my notes to write down, Ozzy, what are you doing? And then Jim locks in on it just as I did. Like, this is not just insight to how coach is going to play the game. This is insight to how Ozzy sees the game. And it was used perfectly by Jim.
I want to flip over to Albert, the person in question. What do you mm-hmm. think of his move of searching for probably an afternoon, not finding the idol, and deciding to go back to Sophie and coach with it?
I don't like it. I mean,
no, I hate it. I hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I generally am anti giving away information here. On the other hand, especially seeing as Coach now found it, and the fact that Coach went and told them that he found it. This, I think there's a degree to which Albert now has coach immunity. Like, not that he can get the immunity idol from coach, but that he is not going to get voted for by coach until they're down to, like, five people in this game. Because, like, what's coach's game? Coach's game is honor and integrity and the Dragon Slayer and all that BS. And there's no way, like, Coach has two routes he can go here that he has mild defense for. And that's voting out Albert, like, now, so that Albert doesn't end up on the jury and isn't able to tell everybody about what a crock he is with his honor and integrity. Or wait until very late in the game, and then you can sort of play it off as a, well, I didn't really have any choice, I had to vote somebody out, you know, and you're a physical threat, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, Albert's got immunity from here, from you know, weeks 7 through 12, 13.
I don't know if I would have done this if I was in his shoes, but what I would have liked to have seen is Albert and Sophie kind of put their heads together and realize that they're in an alliance with Coach and Brandon, and Coach is hopelessly faithful to Brandon, you know, mm-hmm. I would cut my losses. I would take on Michaela and Edna, and I would cut Coach and Brandon loose, especially because you do want to get rid of, you know, that returning player before he gets to be too powerful.
Wow.
So I mean, you know, I'm trying to see the big picture. You know, we've talked about how
about
we don't
Rick?
Want
Where
this
does
to
Rick
be.
Fit in?
What about Rick?
He got to words 5, 6, and 7 in today's episode.
Yeah, he talked about the pig. That was exciting. But, like, You know, I'm saying at some point you have to cut your losses, especially with his attachment to Brandon. You know, like that kid's got mm-hmm. issues. And I think
definitely.
I would just like to see Sophie. I think I want to see Sophie and Albert become power players. I think they both have the mind to do it. They're just too afraid to step away from coach and make that move. You know, Jim's not. That's why I respect what Jim did this episode, but I just don't see it from Sophie and Albert.
Well, there's a difference, though, because the thing is I think you can ride coach a little bit here, and, you know, this is the first we've even seen that there's any sort of hierarchy within that five-person alliance of Coach, Albert, Sophie, Brandon, and Rick. This is the first that we've seen that there's any tighter nucleus. And so it's A, possible that that's only just begun to form. But B, I think Coach... Coach is truly the alpha on that tribe. Whereas at Savai, Ozzy is like the de facto alpha, but he's not truly the alpha.
Yeah.
You know, Keith and Jim have their alpha moments, as is exhibited in this episode, and I think I like their play here. I like that they're riding Coach a little bit. My hunch is he probably gets boosted. You probably have to boot him out in the next two or three votes, you know, depending on how often you go to tribal council. That is to say, before the jury is being formed, that way you don't have to deal with him being on the jury because you obviously are not getting his vote and you're obviously going to have to deal with him, you know, airing dirty laundry at Final Tribal. So, I don't know. I could go either way, to be honest.
There's certainly an argument to be made for both. But I think you and I are just, at least I can speak for myself, I just don't want to see a repeat of last year. I don't want to see these guys run over the non-returning players.
Well, and I don't think we're going to. I mean, you know, the person most likely to do that was Ozzy this season, just because he's a much more likable player. But on the flip side, he's also the less strategic of the two. And we're already seeing Ozzy ending up on the outside of alliances, or at least on the outside of the majority play. And, you know, Coach, I think, is insufferable enough that nobody would want to see him get to the end anyway. So I'm not too worried about it right now. But you're right that Albert and Sophie definitely have big-time potential, I think, in this game.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what they're going to accomplish. Anything before we get to the immunity challenge?
No.
I just want to chip in. I miss reward challenges. I agree. Reward challenges, they create an opportunity for the team to have drama. You know, when you have this reward up for grabs and someone on the team fails the team, you have opportunities for conflict, for finger-pointing, for machinations. All the things that we love about Survivor, we're not getting without those reward challenges where there's two opportunities to lose as a team each episode.
Yep. Well, and then also there's the... I mean, not that it comes into play a whole lot. There's the sit-out factor. Sit-outs only matter within an episode, and since we're only having one challenge, then you can basically just keep sitting out your bum if you're trying.
No,
to get
I thought
up.
They said you can't sit out back-to-backs.
Right, but the back-to-backs thing is maybe they're actually spanning that across episodes now.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay. In the past, it had only applied within the episode. Like they never enforced that.
No, I still think it goes from the previous challenge to the next one. You can't sit out back to back.
Really?
Yeah. Let's get Victor. If you could look through the archives and find
our fact checker,
Stat
Boy.
Victor, get on that.
I told Evan I'd give him a shout out too. So Evan, you can get on that too. Yeah, I agree. Obviously, more challenges is better because of the drama it creates. It also
the psychological warfare, like, you know, those times when, like, a team loses reward challenges over and over and they keep watching the other team walk away with this great prize and they come back with squat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's also the fact that you're now you're much more heavily weighting the challenges that occur now. You know, it's a, you know, every challenge is a double challenge now, basically. You have...
But the thing is, like, when that team that loses goes back to their camp, it's scramble time, and no one's thinking about the food they didn't get, no one's thinking about the tarp they're not sleeping on, they're all thinking about self-preservation, and there's no time to sit there and be like, damn, we could have eggs and chicken right now.
That's a good point. There's no stewing on the drama of what we missed out on.
Right.
The reward is all afterthought.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the immunity was what mattered.
However, I did enjoy Coach being just boyishly gleeful after winning the challenge. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
No.
As we are wont to do.
It's true. We do, yeah.
All right, let's cut to the immunity challenge. Each team gets a roast pig to chew pieces off of and spits horribly into a basket. And I wrote down, when Jeff revealed the reward, it was bread and spices and other stuff. I was like, well, where's the protein? And I was like, they're not actually going to give him, like, the chewed up pig.
Stacy called it. She said it to me. She's like, they're going to win all the pig. I thought that was, I mean, it seems gross, but then when you think about it, all you got to do is wash it off, and it's not that big a deal.
Just expose it to enough heat to kill any, microbes.
Well, and ultimately, you got to consider, I mean, especially once they started yanking pork that was stuck in teeth from each other's mouths.
They were already swapping all that.
Exactly. I mean, so who cares? I mean, I imagine at this point you're just happy to get your hands on some pork.
14-15 days out in the, you know, on a deserted island. That's got to be pretty good.
Well, and 22 pounds of it. That's a huge reward. 22 pounds. Like, that means everybody is getting
3 pounds.
Like,
3 pounds.
Yes. Like, that's like 3 days worth of food apiece at, like, normal person eating rations, not survivor eating rations.
Horrible digestive tract issues sure to come, I'm positive.
That's enough food to get your digestive tract, like, used to it again, and then have a meal that you actually just digest normally. That's the thing that I always wondered about these challenges. Is like only once have we ever seen, I think, only once have we ever seen, like, the reward recipients, like, just get wrecked intestinally by the reward, and just, oh man, we ate too much.
But you gotta like when that happens. I remember you made a point of that last season.
Well, I gotta imagine it happens way more often. They just never, you know, maybe it was a slow episode and that's why they finally showed it to us. But you gotta imagine that they get wrecked every time.
So I'm gonna share a couple points that I wrote down. Obviously, the first time they showed Keith picking food, or Dawn picking food out of Keith's mouth, I was, you know, horrified. But then they kept doing it, and I was like, wow, this is really a thing. They're really going for it.
Yeah.
And I put that Brandon was doing really well, like, little hands. He's certainly got some good jaws. And then I realized that, like, as this whole challenge was going on, I had stopped eating the dinner that I was trying to enjoy as it was happening. You know, I'm a big fan of Anytober, Subway. If you want to sponsor our podcast, I'm totally open to that.
Not if they're going to use that slogan, they're not sponsoring our podcast. I can't. Anytober? What does that
Anytober.
Mean?
Oh, Anytober is amazing.
No, that makes no sense.
Just like February.
Okay, February, January, that I can get behind. Anytober makes no sense. Like, we're just lopping off syllables in favor of the word anywhere?
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Can I take the word anywhere, lop off where, and stick any in there, and we'll just make it any?
It'll be Anypril and Decemberany and Anyvember.
Yeah?
Anyvember.
2011-y?
Ooh, wow, you're really onto something.
The whole year, $5 footlongs, 2011-y.
Yeah, I can see my Subway guy giving me dirty looks when I order, like, the $7 sub for a $5 footlong.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've got a guy I see, you know, very frequently during the week, and he kind of gives me a little bit of a stink eye when I order, like, you know, the steak and cheese, and I've been ordering the cold cuts the whole time.
Yeah. So do you order the Italian BM Tenny?
No, I order the roasted chicken Brenny.
That's, I think from now on, anytime you go into Subway, you have to insert any into your sentence somewhere, swapping out a syllable. That's the new rule at Subway.
Chicken bacon ranchy. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
All right, that's enough Subway-y.
You're really getting into that. So final score: 22 pounds 14 ounces to 22 pounds 12 ounces. I did the math. It's like 350 some ounces. So 2 ounces is almost a half a percent, a little over half a percent.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's probably victory. That's 57%. I mean, 0.57%. I mean.
Yeah. No, it's negligible, that margin.
Yeah, it's insane.
So I'd like to nominate our girl Michaela for Player of the Week by picking up Keith's pork off the ground and scooping that into the basket. That could have been the piece that won it, really.
Well, and I actually the whole time felt like Upolu was winning. Like, it looked like their pile was higher. Now, granted, they could have just been piled higher, whereas the other was just spread more evenly. But it seemed like they were up for a ways, and I wonder, you know, if you recall, like, the biggest piece we saw going away, I think, was Jim at one point, just taking a massive slab off. It had to have been, I'm going to say 10 ounces. 2/3 of a pound, maybe even a full pound. It was huge. And I bet that closed the gap. I mean, without that, that's probably a runaway, I think, because it really seemed like they were doing much better at Apollo.
I think Ozzy could have justifiably said, I can put the whole thing in the basket because I've got the whole thing in my mouth at the end of the challenge. Literally pulling it off of the spit.
I agree. I would have just ripped and see what comes with me. And if the whole thing comes with me, then the whole thing comes with me. You know? I mean, it's in my mouth. It's dangling. I just got to get it over there without it falling off, right?
Right.
I mean, if the weight of it makes it fall off, then fine.
What are your thoughts on regurgitation, Cam?
Oh my God, the Cam buried in the that was disgusting.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, and Stacey also pointed out, and we saw a little bit of it, like 2 ounces. You know, that's I don't know how long they were chewing and spitting for, but that can be that difference can be one person just giving an extra every time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. No.
It was
pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That difference could be, you know, how well cooked the individual pigs were.
Yeah, the tenderness of one. Yeah, versus
if
the
one
other,
was
yeah.
more tender than the other, or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let's go to the scrambling. First of all, I really enjoyed Coach when he came back from camp. Like, he was so on cloud nine, talking with his mouth full. He says beep beep. It was great.
I didn't catch the beep beep.
he's like, you know what? Beep beep. We're back in the driver's seat. That was his thing.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember now.
It was totally genuine Coach Wade. None of his fake Eastern philosophies. It was just unbridled joy.
Indeed.
And this is after, again, having a devastating couple of days where, you know, he gets outed by the people he's exiled, which is another reason to hate Redemption Island. It's giving a voice to people who should have no voice.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It puts people who are in a I have nothing to lose situation in a position to just start acting like they have nothing to lose.
Yeah, that needs to... CBS, get your stuff together. This is not good.
They should consider, like, either... You know, veil of secrecy on the Redemption Island, maybe. You know, or literally send one person to Redemption Island.
Yeah.
So because I
then
mean,
it's like pure question marks about
yes,
who knows what.
And you have true control over information because, you know, the old saying, three can keep a secret if two of them are dead. You know, by sending two people to Tribal, there's no way anybody's going to start inventing information at Tribal.
Yeah.
Because or not Tribal at inventing information about Redemption Island. Because there's too many variables unless you send like two people who are a complete alliance.
And that's the only time we saw that. We saw that when they tried to vote Russell out. So you know you don't know You don't know who's controlling information or what, but again, we've only saw that the one time when they said, oh yeah, the black girl went home or whatever, or they tried to mistell him just so he would be surprised when
when Matt was there, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now, yeah. And that was, I mean, about pretty weak in terms of mastering misinformation.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so Chris, you are Keith and Whitney. What do you do? You have three choices. Vote Cochran, like you were told. Vote Elise to upset the Alliance. Or vote Dawn to completely try to divulge yourself from any sort of responsibility when really you're just as responsible, only
yes.
You look even wishy-washier.
Yes. Like, you're either equally responsible or you're just an idiot.
Right.
So it's like either I'm not going to align myself with you because you're not trustworthy, or I'm not going to align myself with you because you're an idiot and you can't remember what name I told you. So
let me ask you this. How do you sell this if you're Keith and Whitney to Ozzy?
What story
do you tell to get yourself off the hook for voting Dawn?
I thought it was a halfway decent idea. The voting to just throwing votes another way, that way you're outvoted but you didn't actually vote for Elise.
Right.
It's a halfway decent idea. It gets to fully decent only if there was ever any question of who we were voting for. That's
How
the
about,
only way.
What about this play? You know, like we you know, Jim told us it was going to be Dawn. And that's okay, because Dawn's not in our alliance. And they told us to go Dawn.
Okay, that's not bad. Pin
you
it
know?
All on Jim, so like he's the one organizing the misinformation everywhere.
And then it's two people's word against one, you know?
Yeah, sort of. I actually have a choice E here, or however many choices you gave me plus one. And I think this is the way to play it. Because here's the first off, if I'm Keith, I'm not that bright, so it doesn't really matter. Because Keith's version of playing the game is, well, wait, if we don't tell Ozzy, then Ozzy won't trust us. Brilliant, Keith, you're sharp. Way to get to level one of Survivor.
Right.
So I'm in Keith's shoes, but I'm not actually Keith.
Hey, Keith, what's up, bro? Hey, that's a sweet-looking visor. Hey, dude, let's get Hawaii and a compass and tattooed on our abs.
Exactly. I always point to north. If I'm Keith, I realize that, yes, this is the smart play. This is the right thing to do. However, the immediate thing that happens after Elise getting voted out is now me and Whitney are the new power couple that needs to get split up. This is the thing you need to realize. And so what the play is, this is the play. I'm telling you, this is perfect. Keith goes with Jim and does the vote. He tells Whitney about what's happening. However, he also tells Whitney to continue to vote with Ozzy, thus masking the tightness of their alliance and giving Whitney an in with Ozzy still so that
don't vote Keith.
Not necessarily
Keith.
That, but just – but in general, you know – She's got an in for legit information, whereas now, clearly, as we've seen from the previews, Ozzy is ready to go Waco on the entire Savai'i tribe.
He's gone Bauer. He's under no one's thumb.
Jack Bauer? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's out for himself, period. Whereas if Whitney continues to vote with him after that for tonight's tribal, then she's got his ear a little bit, or at least is going to get a pipeline of at least halfway reliable information.
I like this final alternative. I think it addresses all the issues. It sees the angles. I think you've hit the nail on the head with the fact that like you've got to look uncoordinated so that you don't become the next bullseye. No, it's completely the right play.
Yeah, I mean otherwise Exactly. Well, the reason they you're targeting Elise becomes the reason to target you immediately afterwards, yeah. And you have to be looking more than one play ahead.
Now, could you have made this? Could you have made this realization 2 weeks on no sleep, minimal food, and demoralized from a tribal, an immunity challenge loss? Could you have concocted this?
Yes. Because what the hell else do I have to do?
That's right. We keep forgetting that. There's nothing to do out there.
There's nothing to do. It's not like I got to worry about filling my car with gas or making sure I take my dog out for a walk. I don't have to worry about any of this crap. All I got to worry about is getting fed and not getting my butt voted off the island. Two priorities. That's it. And it's just a matter of which one goes to the top of the list at any given moment.
So I think we have more to look forward to, especially because, again, Ozzy's free agent. He's gone rogue. He's got the idol. It's set up for some interesting plays in the future. So maybe we're turning a corner here.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was, we're seeing real gameplay here, which is good. And we have some potential that can come out of this, this first sort of blindside, as Jeff referred to it. What I think would be really interesting is Ozzy. Ozzy's problem now is they know he has an idol. He told Keith. If he had sat on that information, he would not. He'd have so many things he could do here. First off, not going AWOL on his camp would be step one.
Yeah,
doing that, if he just takes it in stride and was like, "Whoa, I didn't see that coming. How come?" And give them the opportunity to explain it away and act like you buy it.
Yeah.
Let them explain it away like, oh, she was going to try to take out Keith, so we took her out or whatever, and then just, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And I wish you guys had told me, but whatever, it's cool. Play Ozzy the stoner who doesn't care about stuff. Don't go AWOL and then become the wild card that everybody wants to get out. Because if he plays it cool, he was going to have a free pass to the merge. There was no way they were going to vote him out before the merge.
Yeah.
The only way they vote him out before the merge is if Upolu goes to tribal and for some reason decides to vote out two strong guys, and they're like, okay, we can afford to lose a strong guy. That's the only way he ever gets voted out. So he's going to get a free pass there. But now he's changing things up. Yeah. And I would love to see him go to the merge and then try to hook up with Coach. And then they start playing with two idols, and it would be interesting. That to me would be pretty cool to watch.
Well, we'll have to look forward to that. I think we've gone long enough. I don't know if you have anything else you need to discuss before we wrap this up.
I'm just going to give one more shout out to my boy Cochran. I mean, I love him.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in Tribal Council. and I give Jeff credit. I give a little credit and a little bit of criticism for his reaction to Cochran. Because it's good analysis from him about how Cochran is constantly reassessing to the point where literally mid-sentence he, says, oh, that wasn't a grin, that was a grimace or whatever. And so it's good analysis from Jeff, but at the same time, it frustrates me a little bit when Jeff starts inserting analysis that can affect outcome, calling attention to individual players in that fashion to me is a little bit biased.
I feel like that's been a classic part of Tribal Council going back. You want to see him extract the drama, put everything in the open, get it talked about with everyone present. Seeing that.
I mean, but I guess to me there's a difference between somebody hanging themselves and him being like, hey, you're kind of hanging yourself. What's the deal? And this, where it's like, this is like a personality quirk that he's just shining a light on, And
you're just defensive of your boy, Cochran.
No, because I don't like it when he shines a light on something that is otherwise something that everybody else seemed perfectly willing to sweep under the rug.
But sometimes Jeff's there to poke and prod a little bit,
That's true. I mean, I certainly do realize that without him doing so, the show could not be nearly as entertaining as it is, because Tribal Council is easily 50% of the entertainment.
Yeah, and you know, we expect people to hold their cards close until Jeff makes them show their hand, to give it a poker analogy.
Yeah, although I certainly am going in there. If I can get on Survivor, I mean, Jeff's going to get the most political answers out of me he could ever get.
You're just going to study the Boston Rob tapes, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, takes more than one person to vote somebody out, Jeff. You know that. You know, great lines like that are going into my repertoire.
Yeah. Well, we have more to look forward to, and Chris, why don't you share with them how to find us?
You can find us on Twitter at Tribal Podcast, or you can email us. The email address is podcast@tc.vanbee.net. That's TC as in Tribal Council.
And we'll be back next week with discussions of Ozzie Bauer, and hopefully... more drama in store.
Bauer.
Thanks for listening, and on behalf of Chris, I'm Ralph, and thanks for listening. Bye.